episode is it? Welcome to episode 419 of the official Game Stitch podcast. I'm Ryan Walton, and as always, I'm joined by Dan Reamer.
Hello again.
Hello.
Hello.
You good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Good. Producer Gerald in the house.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
We're a strong trio this morning.
Are we?
Powerful trio. I think so.
Yeah. The triumvirate of power.
Mm-hmm. Or at least of entertainment.
Of entertainment?
Mm-hmm.
Can work with that. Not a lot of power. Won't go with power.
Yeah. That felt like where you crossed the line to me was the power.
Was that really?
Yeah. Yeah. Because between the three of us. Yeah, between the three of us, I don't even know.
Like, I think Gerald's got it. I think Gerald can take up for our slack, honestly.
Well, I don't have any power.
Right, I don't either. But Gerald can take up for our slack. He's got the power of three people.
The way I understand it, he'd only be able to cover 33% of the power as a team. And you and I are supplying none.
That's why it's important to only get in situations where that's all the power that's warranted.
That's true. That's true. If you only needed 30%, he would be 100%.
Right.
Is everybody following us so far? I know it's been pretty clear, but... And believe it or not, this is not a carried over conversation. We're not actually making any sense right now.
Yeah, this isn't something we talked about before. This is, there you go.
Yeah.
I have the power, He-Man. Yeah. That's you, Gerald.
Would you like to say anything for yourself, Gerald?
No, I'm good. I don't have a limited amount of words to use.
That's right. Make sure you keep track of them.
We about covered it. Is that what you're saying? I think you guys covered it.
I think we're. I think we'll move on. I think that'd be fine. I'm still a little stuffy, a little sniffly. I'll try to mute the coughs. I'm gonna keep the sniffles in. I feel better.
Now, is this still COVID related, or do you think this is more cold and flu related, or seasonally related?
Well, I'm uncomfortable to answer that as a non-medical profession, but I would assume that it's spillover from COVID.
Okay, listen, I see people all over the place taking advice from housewives who sit on the shitter. So go ahead.
Well, I sit on the shitter, so maybe I am qualified.
There you go.
But I've never not been sick since having COVID.
So you still are not back to 100% is what you're saying, whether it's a result of COVID or maybe just a weakened immune system that caused the cold to creep in or something?
Yeah, I think so. Now, I want to be clear. I never got as sick as a lot of people, and I was sick, but I never got as sick as a lot of people. And if this is as bad as it gets post-COVID, I'm not complaining.
Okay.
But I want people to understand that I am going to be a little stuffy, a little sniffly, and it's different than, like, seasonal allergies. So I still carry that, like, bronchitis-style cough and a lot of congestion. So it's more of a forewarning.
A forewarning.
Than a I just punched the mic, so hopefully that sounded like Gerald.
Are you a cautionary tale?
Not yet.
Not yet?
That's not good. Yet.
Are you doing things? So you're doing things right?
I am. Yeah.
Good.
Trying to stay active, still taking vitamins, still on the rotation the doctor gave me. I've toned it down a little bit. I don't need the Motrin for the body aches because I don't get those anymore. Tylenol when I feel a headache. Headaches still happen pretty bad. So still taking Tylenol when those things pop up. I'm way better than I was. Not 100% though.
Well, that's good. I'm still where I was as far as health goes. I'm still the same.
Good.
Gerald, I did get a year older, but other than that.
You did. I saw that.
No, I'm good.
Gerald, you're healthy? Feeling good?
Yep.
I'm just getting older. That's all.
How old are you now?
I am 46.
Damn. Pushing towards that 50.
I am.
I already know the answer to this. Is there a birthday that's like going to be special for you? Like, I know you don't care.
The only next one that really matters is 50. And after that, they're all just, but.
Are you going to do a thing? Like, do you have a plan or do you think you'll have a plan?
I do not have a plan. I have something I want to do that I've mentioned to my wife. But now it's on her to put it together if that's what she wants to do.
Yeah.
But I would like to go to Star Wars Galaxy's Edge.
It's a shame she doesn't listen to the show.
It is a shame she doesn't.
She could have picked up on that again. Now you'll have to find ways to drop hints outside of the show.
No, I don't have to drop hints. I will just tell her.
I'm guessing you already have.
I have, yes.
Yeah.
And that's a and that's time. That's a good time. That gives you time to plan for it and all that. Yeah. The problem is I think I said on the show, the problem is in 4 years, I'm going to have a 4-year-old as well. So it's actually perfect.
I'm about to say that. So it makes more sense. It's like a gift for both of you.
Right. But more for me.
Yeah, 100% for you. You're not going to remember anything at four?
That was this week, my birthday.
Gerald told you happy birthday, and I don't think you ever responded.
I don't think I did.
Which, nope. I was only going to respond if you responded, because I'm never quite sure if it's actually anybody's birthday, even though I knew Gerald got it right. I was like, let me let him confirm it before I send anything.
I don't think I ever did. Gerald, thank you for sending that.
You're welcome.
Gerald's great at birthdays.
I did get a little birthday present, though. I got my new bed delivered.
Oh, yeah. You were super pumped about it. What, have you slept on it?
Indeed, I have.
Is it everything you hoped?
Indeed, it is.
Yeah.
It's something.
I'll tell you. When I first got my bed, it changed my life. But now I've slept on it so long now, it's like that's the normal.
Right.
But man, when I went from a shitty bed. So, you know, if you already had a good bed, maybe it's not a big difference. But I went from a super shitty bed to a nice bed.
Oh, I did not have I went from a bed I hated. I've been trying to get my wife to get a bed for 2-3 years.
Yeah. My bed was old and worn out, and it was a cheap bed to start with.
But now she likes it too. As a matter of fact, today is the first day. We did some work around the house yesterday. So today's actually the first day I'm going to take a nap in it. So I'm going to sleep in it my way, which is going to be 0G with a massage on.
Yeah, 0G is weird. I'm comfortable in that spot, but I don't sleep that way because like, that's not a position that I sleep in.
Yeah, I don't either. The way I sleep in it usually is with, I have the head slightly raised and the legs slightly raised. And that's how I sleep in it.
Now, there's something special about 0G. I have a TV in my room, so if I go 0G and pop that TV on, it's a way to relax for sure.
I'm sure. See, I just watch my tablet or play games on my tablet.
Yeah. I have one of those long bendable mounts also, and I have a end table thing beside me, so it like goes up and right in front of my face for my tablet as well. For those that don't have a bed that's unnecessary, 0G just raises your head and your feet.
Yeah, basically what it's supposed to do is it's like the perfect position to basically take pressure off of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Is the way they explain it. So it's like being in 0G gravity. It's obviously not because you're laying on a bed. But the point is that's supposed to be no pressure on any points of your body.
Yeah.
Will say the only way you're sleeping that way is on your back. If you're a side sleeper or a stomach sleeper, I don't recommend that.
If you were a side sleeper, you'd have to go to the hospital. If you're a stomach sleeper, you would die if you slept that way, just to be clear. It's not that it's not a recommendation. You can't be done on your stomach. It shouldn't even be attempted on your stomach. Because you'd be headbutting the mattress all night, not getting any air. If your spine doesn't break. But
not recommended.
Yeah, 1 out of 10 would not recommend.
9 out of 10, Dennis.
Yeah,
would not recommend.
Back that video up again.
Yeah,
this lady on this video that Gerald has her, look at that. Back up a little bit more. Somehow she is sleeping and her legs are not touching.
Yeah,
what kind of bizarre shit is that?
Actually, her calves are touching, aren't they?
But her knees aren't.
Maybe she bow-legged.
No, her legs don't look bowed out. That's like something the most photoshopped-ass picture of somebody sleeping.
Yeah, it's a little photoshopped.
No one has ever laid on their side and their legs not touched, except for at their calves. The first thing that happens is those knees slam together as a side sleeper. Or she's got a super strong core, maybe, and just keeps them up all night.
Could be.
While she's not even awake.
So yeah, I got that bed. I got organic sheets on it, and I splurged on a linen comforter, and it's amazing.
Went all out.
I love it. It's great.
You know what this means, Gerald? It's time for you to upgrade your mattress, even though you said you didn't need one.
Yeah.
When I move and get a new house.
When he moves. Okay.
Two out of three have upgraded, so it's time.
We got you. It's closer than where you were at, so I'm telling you, it is going to change your life, though. And what's nice about this is it's a hybrid bed, but the spot you're sleeping in, like where the literal spot your body takes up gets warm after a while. You can literally just shift a little bit one way or the other, roll around your back, and those spots are cool. Like, cool.
Yeah, I lobbied for one of those beds that's heated and cooled.
Ah, yes. I did lobby for, because my wife and I can tend to sleep differently. Mm-hmm. So I did lobby for the split adjuster with the split mattress, but
yeah. I don't have that either. I want to back up though to something that you said earlier. You nap in the bed?
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's like a hardcore.
I know
nap.
I'm the weird one. I know people.
Yeah, that's odd. I can overlook an adult like falling asleep watching TV or something, but like intentionally going to the room, I will never do that.
Yes, I intentionally go to the bedroom to take a nap. And here's why. If there is any form of entertainment going, I will not fall asleep.
Yeah, but that's like, I'll justify my naps as a mistake.
Oh, no, not me. No,
if
I
they
completely
happen.
Mean it.
I'll be like, oh, I fell asleep watching this or whatever. Like, I didn't mean to.
I completely mean it. Yeah, but see, I can't fall asleep watching things either.
Yeah. I could fall asleep watching anything.
I cannot fall asleep watching anything. If a TV is on, I will not fall asleep.
Check out that NCIS.
Why? Again?
Well, because I think if there's something you could fall asleep to.
No, it doesn't. It can be the most horrible thing in the world that I don't want to watch, that I absolutely hate. And if a TV is on, I will not. I think it's the changing of the colors.
Yeah, that
the flickering of the screen.
If I'm not super, even sometimes when I'm super into what I'm watching, it'll put me to sleep. But yeah, there's something soothing about that NCIS that puts me to sleep. It's like golf.
No,
golf puts me to sleep immediately.
I know a lot of people have said that. They've said, try golf. Try falling asleep to golf. And yeah. I've tried that. And it doesn't work because, like I said, I think it's the flickering of the TV screen, the changing of the colors and stuff such.
Now, Gerald, your wife is a bed napper too?
Yep.
I just don't. I don't know. Unless I've been sick, I don't know that I've ever just like gone and taken a nap in a bed as an adult.
Missing out, bro.
Do you nap like that, Gerald?
No. I don't nap at all.
You nap?
No.
Yeah, me either.
I got too
now
much
I fall asleep. You ever just fall asleep?
Maybe once or twice a year, maybe, if I'm really, really tired.
I black out a couple times a week.
No, I take naps like at least every Sunday, sometimes both days.
But mine are like, so I'll fall asleep for like 30 minutes.
Oh, yeah. No, mine's 2 hours.
Yeah, I'll doze off, I guess, is the easiest way to describe it.
No, I don't doze off.
So before we get into some video game talk, which we will do, we sort of switched it up this week. We've been doing it the same way for a long time. I think we're overdue for some changes. I don't know that these are the right changes, but I'll just tell you, we're going to chit-chat for a while, and then we're only going to talk about one story, give us a little time to deep dive in it if we want, or talk more up front if we want. We want feedback from you guys if you don't like it this way. Again, this may not be the way that we go forever, but I think
we're calling an audible.
Yeah, it's time where I think it's okay to maybe switch stuff up. There wasn't much going on this week, so I thought it was a good week to try it. And let us know what you think. But we'll talk about it gives us more time up front to talk about different things. Like Dan's got some stuff he wants to talk about. Up front, and it also gives us more time on that topic if we want it. So, I probably should have said that off the top, but there it is now, and it's everybody's favorite time. We're going to talk about some smart home stuff.
We are.
I'm not so much. I'm going to listen because I haven't had anything new and cool, but I'm interested in this.
Okay, so last week I talked a little bit of, I think it was on here we talked about it, wasn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, well, yes, it was, because I had texted you about the box. And, we had talked about the Phillips box, and I said I'd found this Govee that I thought I was going to try, the one with the camera. So I did, and I received it on Friday,
mm-hmm.
a good birthday week. So basically what it is it's two light bars with a camera and a control box. The camera is basically mounts to either the bottom or the top of your TV, and that's how it reads the colors from the television, sends it to the control box, which tells the lights what to do for immersive lighting. It's basically the same setup that we talked about with the Philips Hue setup, where the lights are 130 each, and the box is like 250 or something like that. So that's $400. So I found this one for $70. And I'm like, well, it appears from what I've seen to do what I wanted to do. So I'm going to go ahead and get it, because worst comes to worst, I'm out $70, right? And if everything works out well, I saved myself $230. So why not? So it came in Friday, got it out, read the instructions, hooked it up, takes 20 minutes to put this thing together. So to try it out, I'm like, you know what? I need to really put this through the test. And I decided to record it. So what I did is I put it through. It was Rise of Skywalker, the lightsaber battle between Rey and herself on the Death Star, her dark self, and then Kylo Ren shows up. If you're a Star Wars fan, you know what I'm talking about. If not, it's really not important. The only important thing is that there's a lot of lights, and there's a lot of like rage and anger. And the way immersive lighting works is the more light, the more, I guess, intense the light on the TV, the more intense it's supposed to be through the immersive lighting setup on the two lights on the side. Wasn't sure if that was going to be true or not. So I put that on and I recorded it, and I can tell you it is true. If you're considering, I'm just going to tell you this. If you're considering immersive lighting in any way, shape, or form, I strongly suggest that. I think it's the Govee Flow Pro, something like that. It's Govee. If you go to the Govee website, you can find it. I got these things in 5 days. So I was super happy about how quick I got them. They kept track, gave me the tracking the whole time. I sent the video to Gerald and Ryan, and Ryan has an Apple phone, so all he got was a little thumbnail gif of it, because Apple's stupid.
Yeah, I'll tell you, there's something going on. I just can't see what it is. I see the lights flashing, but I can't really tell what's going
on. You can't tell what's going on the TV.
No, the funny thing about the Star Wars... So if you've ever done any kind of 3D print, there's this thing called like Benchy. It's this little boat that everybody prints. That's like how dialed in your printer is.
That's what everybody does with the
Star Wars is that for like, yeah, for like immersive lighting. Star Wars is that like everyone finds a lightsaber battle, and that is like their test for how good their lights are.
Yeah, it's your calibration test. Yeah,
everyone uses that.
Yeah. I am Gerald. What did you think? I know you really said, "Damn, that looks good," is what you said in your text, but that might have just been to make me feel better. What did you really think?
You can't trust Gerald because he's polite.
I know. That's why I want him to be honest on the podcast.
No, it looked cool. But...
Yeah.
So you were 0 out of 10 as far as interested goes last week. Did seeing his setup, did that change that?
It might have moved me to a 1.
Okay, I'll take it.
Hey. It moved you up, though.
Yeah. Man, look at this psychopath setup here.
I know.
That's too much.
That's like set up to, yeah. So, and I did try it a few different ways. I tried it because it's got different settings. You can do settings for gaming, settings for movies, and then settings for music. I tried it all three ways.
Now, I can't even see it. So where did you position your lights?
My lights are positioned on either side of my television. And
are they behind your TV or are they beside it?
They are behind/behind.
Does that make sense? Beside/behind.
They're like, if you pulled it out, if you set it right, like right on one edge end of the TV, pulled it out 2 inches and then pushed it back 3 inches.
You can see your lights, though.
You can see my lights, yes.
Okay, yeah, yeah. And then a right and a left situation?
Right and a left.
Okay.
And that's all it's got. It's got the control box, which I've got hid in the back.
And I assume the camera is, you can visually see the camera, I assume?
You can visually see the camera, but the way it's set up is it really almost looks like it's just like a thick part of the top of the TV. Mm-hmm. So now, it's not like it sticks right out at you. And when I'm watching TV or playing a game, I don't even know that it's there.
So my first thought when you told me how it worked is I was concerned about the responsiveness.
Right.
How's that?
It's wonderful. I mean, yeah. It's spot on. I did some, threw on some music videos that I then did under video, watched them under the video or the movies setting, I guess. And I just watched some different stuff on YouTube, some that had a lot of color change, some that didn't. And it's very responsive. I mean, if it's not one-to-one, it's not far off.
Is that that wall where it's at, is it the same color as the wall behind you?
Yes, it's a bluish color.
Yeah, see, that's where you and I are both missing out. Mine's on like a maroon color wall. If we were on a white wall, it'd really be wild.
And what I really like about this, what's really neat, is the way the camera works. I'm figuring out the way it must work from paying attention to, like, not paying attention to what's on TV, but paying attention to the colors on the TV compared to the colors on the lights. And what the camera must do is somewhere, whether it's in the control box and the camera setup, I don't know what it does, but it, like, say you've got like a white, like a red and a blue, whichever color is more prominent is what color it's going to be more of, but it's going to have a little bit of that blue, like almost like you mix that color together.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really cool because it kind of extends to the whole screen that way. More so than I'm really having a hard time explaining it, but it almost makes it feel like seamless, like your screen is literally bigger just because of the color base.
But where is the camera looking?
The camera is looking it's kind of hard to explain it. It's sets on top and it extends out.
Yeah, but where, what, like what part of the screen is it looking at?
Oh, you actually have to calibrate it. It sticks out about 3 inches and it's angled in at the TV.
Okay, let's say your TV had like, let's say your TV had four colors on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And let's say you've got red, it doesn't matter, right? You've got color 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, when you set it up, you have to calibrate each corner point of the screen.
But so if I had four quadrants on my screen, 1, 2, 3, 4, not the corners, but just all the way across, hot dog style, with that camera pointed, what color are my right and left lights? Are they like?
I don't think it works that way.
Yeah, but what would it do right there in that situation? I guess is what I'm saying.
It's basically whatever is happening on what side of the screen.
Okay, so it's going to use the edge colors.
Yes, but it mixes in. See, that's the thing, is the thing can see the whole TV, every color on the TV at one time.
But can your lights, do your lights
so
look
yes,
like?
Yes, I can have a red one on one side and a blue one on the other. If
but they're one color at a time, right?
Lightsabers, yes. But what they're going to do is, say there's a red lightsaber on one side and a blue lightsaber on one side. As you're facing it, red on the left, blue on the right. The one on the right is going to be more blue, but with almost just like a hint of red. And the one on the left will be red, but it's going to be like just a little darker, almost a more purple color because it's going to have that hint of blue in it.
Yeah, and so some of that's going to be, I assume it's same as mine, it's going to be like bleed over from the other light actually.
Right.
You know, mine kind of mix in the middle and then my ceiling. So, but I have mine set up on, I guess why I'm asking is like with Hue, with Philips, like I set where that light is. So I say that light is on the right side.
I had to do all that.
Yeah. And so what that does is say that light is using the right side of the screen. It doesn't give a damn what's going on anywhere else. And then you know, my left one is going to use the left side of the screen and my top one is going to use the top of my TV. And so that's why I was saying, okay, so right and left are easy, right? They usually have one color over there. Where I struggle with my setup is top typically has colors all the way across. And it has a much harder time dialing in that top one, which is why I want the gradient up there where it can give me colors all the way across, because I think I lose a little something with the top just because there's colors running all the way across. That's why I was curious how the camera worked, because...
yeah, the camera takes into account, like, the lights don't do anything except for shine a light.
Yeah, but I just was wondering what it focused on to decide what color to make it, because that's a lot... I mean, a screen could have a lot going on. There could be, you know, red in the middle and then green on each side. I didn't know if it would show green on each side or if it what it would do with that red if it ignores it or if it shows the middle of the screen.
Right, like, basically, like, if you had... Like I said, like with the red and the blue, and then say you had a yellow one in the middle of the screen, a yellow lightsaber, your left side would be predominantly blue with a little bit more yellow and then just a touch of red. See what I'm saying? Like what's furthest away from that light?
Yeah. Now, can you change?
Is how it appears to work to me.
Now, you said you had those... like those presets, but do you also, can you like change intensity level or anything?
You can do all of that. Mine are how they came out of the box. I haven't done anything with it.
Yeah. So the Hue has intensity levels, which range from like really kind of soft fades to like, I'm about to puke.
Right. Let's see. I can go right here and tell you what Govee has. Tons. Govee has, let's see, open it up. Yeah.
While you're doing that, how's the app?
The app is super, super easy to use. I can do everything I need to do just from one screen, literally. Yeah, it's got brightness. It's got a do-it-yourself mode. You can set scenes depending on what you're watching or doing. You've actually got a timer where you can turn it off. It's got a light studio where where you can like create what you've come up with and share it, and the app is pretty cool. I've looked through some of those a little bit. Tells you if it's connected. You can turn off both lights, one light. Anyway, the app is really intuitive, really easy to use. That's where you make your changes by scene, color, video, music, all that. You can set it up for game, movie. There's a saturation mode. There's a lot of stuff. I haven't messed with any of it.
So I'm gonna shots fired here at Hue, because I do think that their sync app is what you would want it to be. It's all on one screen. It's a separate app than your Philips Hue app, which I have a major problem with. But I have video, music, game, and then, of course, intensity. You have subtle, moderate, high, and extreme, and then you have a brightness control, too, for the whole thing, for you to dial in the brightness that you want. But the problem is, so if you can see that, you guys can see this. So this is my my sync controls, right? Oof. So brightness, and I have intensity.
Yeah.
I can't control anything about my lights through that app.
You have to go to the Hue to do that, right?
And then once I go to my Hue, those are just lights like any other.
Right.
So as you can see right now on here, you can't see that because my phone's super. Okay, so that says 3 right there. So if I click on that, it'll expand out and show me that there are 3 lights that are hooked up to my TV. And then I could dial each one of those in individually. But I have to switch between 2 apps to do that, which I find to be a pain in the ass, and ultimately is why everything ends up being controlled in my home with your voice, because I shouldn't have to switch between 2 apps to do that.
Yeah, and I have my lights are also set up on Google Home now too. So,
but what I'm saying is, like, from your app, you can control all the changing, but you can also just control the lights.
Yeah, and what's nice is as I add more Govee lights, say I were to get LED strips or anything that they offer, it's all on one app. You just switch device on that app.
Can the TV setup handle more lights?
I think, yeah, what do you mean exactly?
Like, can you add, so, I can add, like I have 3 lights right now, I can add more into that TV, like, setup.
I got it. I could add more lights to this. I could add as many lights as I want to. I could have 4 on either side and 6 on top.
I guess so the control box can handle more, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
No, you would, each time you buy a set of 2, requires 1 control box.
Oh, okay.
And it all comes as a set. So if I were to do that, you know, if I were to buy a set for the top, I would have an extra light that I would need to use somewhere.
Could you do like a top and a bottom with one set?
Yeah, you could do a top and a bottom as one set. You'd have to figure, I don't think they're really made to lay down just yet. They come with a stand, and they come with some mounts for the back of the TV. So that may be the way to go if you go with top and bottom.
But you'd have to, I guess you'd also have to have another camera too.
You'd have a second camera too.
Mm-hmm. So I can add bulbs in willy-nilly with mine, which I like.
Right.
Now the Hue, the power cord that the plays come with support 3-through-1 power cord.
Mm-hmm.
So all three of my TV lights are run with one power cord. However, the sync box also takes a power cord. So I'm forced with either the sync box is powered separately or one of my bulbs is powered separately, which is how I do it. One of the play bars is powered separately.
See, what happens here is the control box plugs into a USB port. The lights are both connected with one wire. Wire comes out from each, and then they all run into one. That plugs into the control box. The control box plugs into the outlet, and you're good. The camera plugs in as part of the control box, and you're good to go.
Yeah, it's interesting. I will say there's lots of ways to do this. I, again, don't suggest the way that I did it, but they were Christmas gifts and gift cards over time.
Well, the thing with, I think, like what you're talking about with your Hue, you can constantly just keep adding bulbs in.
Yeah, so where I could actually, you know, you get into the point where we were talking about, like, with the lightning, and you can have the bulbs flash and, like, your overhead lights and stuff like that. I mean, I could eventually get into all of that.
Right.
Because my
that's not something Govee that I would be able to do with these, because basically what has to happen is your camera has to be centered on either the top or the bottom of the television.
Yeah.
Either way, it's not in your field of vision. But after you've centered one camera, two camera, you have nowhere else to center another camera.
Yeah.
So essentially you could do nothing more than have four of these lights.
And if you've experienced these lights, again, where it's a little unnecessary, you don't need a top or bottom.
Right.
Because of how the lights shine. I just do because I'm a moron.
And happen to have them.
Yeah, and so, again, there are, you know, your system seems good early on. There are much better ways than Hue. So,
right. And like I said, I can't do as much with Govee as you can do with Hue, and that includes spend $230.
Yeah, I just want people to be clear, because I talk about it a lot. Doesn't mean I condone it. most of my smart home setup is not how I would advise anyone to go. I got into it fairly early. Everything was fairly expensive. There weren't very many brands, and you know, it's led me down this path. And I would. You know, if I had a brand new home and I had no smart home stuff, I would use almost nothing that I have now. You know, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I truly believe most of the products I have are the best you can get, but they're all the most expensive too, and I am not a fan of what they cost.
Right.
I don't think there's a reason they cost that HDMI breakout box, that Hue sync box. There's no way that thing is worth $250.
I agree 100%.
Like, as the guy that's been using one for
4 inches long by 3 inches wide,
it's just all it is like a HDMI pass through. But what it allows the lights to do is, you know, I drag that light where I want it on my TV and it detects that part of my TV. So it takes that true HDMI signal that is coming in and it's able to grab that exact color from that exact spot. So, I get what it's doing might be pretty remarkable. Yeah, that's expensive as hell.
No, like, I agree. And that's why I was willing to take a chance on these. I mean, is it a name brand? No, I do know that they're up and comers in the lighting aspect of things. They seem to have a lot of buzz. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to give them a shot because they offer what I want at an affordable price that I can afford to have wasted if it doesn't work the way I want it to.
Man, I looked at those monster ones I told you about because I was at Walmart. Those things, don't buy those.
They're not immersive, I don't think, are they?
They're not, they're just lights. It's also like everything about the way they work. Like you have a remote with them.
Yeah, yeah.
But they try so hard to look like the Hue Play lights. Like form factor wise, they look right.
They look exact. Yeah, they
but,
do.
But man, I trust 0% of those things.
I had on my old TV because I just wanted to try. I wanted to just try backlighting and see how I would like it.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I was going to be getting a new TV before too long, so I just bought like I think it was $5. I bought the lights with the remote, the mm-hmm. strip lights that stick on the back of the
TV.
They're
super affordable now.
Yeah, they were the monster ones.
Mm-hmm.
Plug them into an HDMI, go around with the sticky, pulling off the tape, and then cut.
Plug them into USB.
USB? What did I say?
HDMI.
HDMI. Yeah, no, they plug into USB. But they turn on when the TV turns on, but they're white unless you change colors with the remote.
That's the way I started as well. That was the first thing I did was put backlighting in that plugs into USB.
Yeah. Or cheap. I mean, you know, you can either use the app or the remote to change the color.
First
but
one I got.
I had like 12 colors I could choose from.
That's what I upgraded to. The first ones I bought didn't even change colors. They were just soft white all the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I tried them and I was like, you know what? I like backlighting, but I want the next step up. So that's when I started. I got the new TV. I didn't want to stick anything on the TV. So I started looking into this lighting aspect and the sink box and all that. And I was like, whoa, $400? Holy shit, isn't there another option? And it turns out there was. It was these Govee, and rest is history. I really like them.
Well, good. I'm glad they're working. We'll check back in a few weeks and see if you're still happy and what tweaking you've had to do with it.
I do want to get a chance to like play with them a little bit. The only thing I'm not real happy about, it's not major, because I left all the plastic on the side of my TV. So this camera sticks on the top of the TV. You know, not super happy about that, but I don't know. That's a small price to pay for saving the
money. You mean you don't want it to like 3M tape down or whatever?
It is 3M tape down.
Yeah, and so you have to, when and if you don't use that system, you'd have to scrape that off.
Yes.
Because that foam will never pull off.
Right. I would have to scrape it off. Like I said, for me, it's not a big deal because I keep the plastic on the outside, on the border.
The protective coating?
Yeah, stuff? That it comes out of the box with.
So you still have that on the top of your TV, too?
Yeah.
That's psycho shit.
It's on the border all the way around.
Me, too.
Yes. You do, too? What the hell?
Even on the computer that we're working on right now, there's a plastic on it.
No, absolutely not.
The only thing I take the plastic off is the screen.
No, absolutely not. It comes off of everything. It's not designed to stay on.
Dude, my last TV was 10 years old, and it still had it on it, on the border.
Mm-mm.
When I sold it to the guy, he's like, what's this? I'm like, oh, that's the protective. I said, that it comes out of the box with that. He goes, you don't take that off?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, no, and he goes, man, I feel real safe buying from you.
Yeah, that's my first thought is, why have you not taken that off? Yeah, I pull that off of everything. I get that strange satisfaction from pulling that thing off. It never looks better than it does when you pull that off.
I still have my protecting over my smartwatch. It's almost 2 years old.
I don't even know what to do with either one of y'all.
I just sent you a picture of my computer.
That's so bizarre. It didn't even look good anymore. It's peeling off.
But it's still protecting it.
No, Gerald, take that off. That's giving me even more anxiety.
We have, like, my house doesn't have...
Yeah, I mean, that one doesn't look great because it is
peeling off.
My house doesn't have, like, central heat and air, so we have window air conditioners, and I still have the plastic thing over the air conditioner that we have in the living room. That thing is probably 8 years old.
What is it? What is your computer sitting on? What's that U-shaped white thing?
Oh, no, it's the bottom part of the stand.
I can't even tell what that's going on right there.
Interesting.
Do you see that? Like, does that make sense to you when you look at it, Dan?
No. It almost looks like there's a shelf.
It's not. Yeah. It's
right? That's like a black shelf that's on a like somehow balancing perfectly on this one little...
It looks like it's a... Yeah, like it's a, like it rocks, yeah. Yeah. I started with some questions.
Zero gravity stands.
Now I've got more. Yeah, you got that zero G computer monitor. Yeah, I'm totally confused by that setup.
This is what you're looking at.
Where's your computer? Oh. Is the computer in the floor?
No, it's on a table. Do you see? That's the stand.
For the monitor? Yeah. Is it rounded like it looks? Does it rock?
No, it's an all-in-one.
Does it swivel?
No, look at the actual screen. He's got it pulled up. I'm still looking at my phone. That's part of your computer, that bar. Yeah.
And that's an all-in-one, so all you have is the computer, is the keyboard, mouse, and monitor. Mm-hmm.
And we can, it's got a battery in it, so you can pick it up and take it into the kitchen, you can take it anywhere.
Oh, that thing's weird. That's a handle at the bottom. You can take it to the beach with you.
Is it a handle?
No, it's not. I mean,
it's a bar that runs across. It's anything you can hold.
It looks
handle.
Like a handle.
Yeah, it's a
that's
handle.
That's kind of a handle. I get it. I get where Ryan's coming from, but
that's handle.
I understand that's probably not the best way to cart your monitor / computer around too.
Yeah, you just pack it with that handle and take it to wherever you're going. screen out. Don't carry screen like jean side in or whatever. Don't want to scrape it. I have been playing a lot of the Usual Suspects. I do want to quickly say Sackboy is incredible still. And I don't know if it's the same thing as the Dark Pictures Anthology, and I'm just having a blast playing through that game with friend of the show, Marshall 205.
Mm-hmm.
Friend of the show, Epic Dirt Dauber, however you want him. I don't know if it's that or if I just love being around Sackboy and that game is well made or
it
it's all of those
combination
things.
Of both?
Yeah. But, man, I highly suggest that game if you have somebody to play with, especially if you have somebody in your home to play with. It's up to 4 players online or offline. I'm a really big fan of that game. We've still been doing the Rocket League tournaments every night. And then I finally got Elder Scrolls online going. I don't even know if I talked about it, but that game is broken on PS5. You have to actually unplug your PS5.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you talked about it last week.
Okay, so I was taking the hard stance that I refused to do that, but then I was like, well, I spent $26 on a game I can't play.
So you did it.
Sure enough, you unplug it for like, whatever, I did 3 minutes, I don't know if it matters, but plugged it back up and the game starts up absolutely fine and is fine every time after that.
That's so weird.
It is so bizarre and unnecessary, but I did it. I made it to the character setup screen. I haven't started playing yet. So I hope to dive in there with Howard and friend of the show, Thomas, and just see what's up. And maybe you, if you ever get on PS4 again.
It's been a while for me.
Yep.
It's been a while since I've been on the PS4.
I still want to play Phoenix Immortals Rising, and then I'm toying with the idea of playing Scott Pilgrim because they put it up on Luna.
I started playing some Scott Pilgrim this week.
Yeah. It's on Ubisoft Play is what I mean. I said Luna. I meant to say it's on Ubisoft.
It's on Ubisoft. Yeah, you can play it on either.
Yeah.
So I did what I did. I talked about it a little bit last week, but I decided to do some experimenting this week. So what I did is I started The Division 2 and Far Cry 5. I played each of them for about an hour and a half on both Luna, using both the Luna controller and the Stadia controller. So I played both on Stadia and Luna. Mm-hmm. Same game. Both games I've played before on the PS4. Because I really wanted to get down to the nitty-gritty of what was happening. Right now, the Google controller is better. It does not have any lag. It is more responsive. It just feels better. The Luna controller is just a touch behind as far as the controls go. There's a little bit of lag there, so it's not one-to-one. It's not one-to-one on audio either for whatever reason. I noticed the Luna controllers, the triggers are a lot, I guess, tighter is the way I'm going to put it. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's going to be some sort of possible haptic feedback on that at some point. I feel like that's what that why that tightness is so necessary, because they feel real tight and they don't have a very long, a press time. There's not a lot of they don't go as deep as some of the other as other controllers do. I feel like it's going to be due to haptic feedback at some point. So I am no expert, but I feel like at some point on the Luna controller, we're going to see some enhancements for the controls that will maybe make those triggers feel a little bit more responsive.
Yeah. Now, I want to quickly say you're using a Chromecast Ultra for the Stadia, and you're using a 4K, Fire Stick 4K for the Luna.
For the Luna, yes.
Yep. Just so anyone at home is comparing apples to apples.
And they're both running. They're both running on the same Wi-Fi,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
on the same Wi-Fi setup. So, no issues there. So that was nice, both for myself and because I've just been. We talked about it last week. It's because I just played the Stadia more.
Right.
I can tell you no. Right now, the Stadia is more responsive. Is a better controller. That may change over time because, as we know, Luna's still in beta. It's still new. Google's got a year on these guys. So ask me again in a year. I don't know. But right now, the Stadia is my go-to, is more my go-to. The Luna does offer some things that I am going to play on, and I'm not upset with that purchase at all.
Yeah.
I need to make that clear.
Now
I am not upset with that purchase at all. I am just more – I am happier – with the way my purchase of the Stadia worked out than I am the way my Amazon.
Well, that could also be because the Stadia was free, but...
What's that?
That could also be because Stadia was free, but I hear you.
Could be part of it.
Now, you did those for science. I assume you're not going to continue to play either one of those.
Probably not. I take that back. I probably won't be getting... I played the hell out of Division 2 when I had it on PS4. It was just for science. I'm probably not going to get back into that. Far Cry 5 kind of made me want to play it again.
Now, what are you playing when you're not sciencing?
When I'm not sciencing, I'm still playing some Cyberpunk.
Okay. Are you still into that?
I'm kind of going through it now.
Yeah.
But I am just starting to get into some real meat of the story. So, I mean, but I've been at it for 33 hours. My problem is I'm just going crazy on side missions and shit. But I'm still piecing through that. I did go ahead and I went ahead and bought Marvel's Avengers.
Did you?
I did.
Now, where did you buy it at?
Stadia,
okay.
Yep. So I've been playing through that.
I guess I knew the answer to that since it's not available on Luna. So,
right.
For everybody screaming at their radio right now. Relax.
You idiot. What are you, stupid?
Here's the thing. I thought you might have got it on PS4, but then I immediately remembered you're basically just playing between Luna and Stadia. So then my question made no sense. So
right.
That's why I tried to pivot really quick.
Good pivot. You did well.
Yeah, thanks.
I did do some research on it, and it... The single-player game is supposed to be about 16 hours. It's a really good story. So worst-case scenario is I've got a single-player game that is supposed to be pretty good. Whether I get into some of the other stuff, I don't know. It's interesting right now. I like it. I like what it's trying to do. I'm still kind of early in it. I've only unlocked Kamala Khan and the Hulk. I'm on my way to try to find Tony Stark right now. I can see how some of the complaints when it came out are valid about it being repetitive with the enemies and such. I think that's kind of a thing that you just kind of get into with these types of games. But the combat's fluid. Everything seems to work the way it's supposed to. Right now, I'm having fun with it. Right now, I'm more invested in that than I am Cyberpunk. Whether that's because it's new or... Not, I don't know. And then on Luna, I did get into some, I started playing through some Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah, I thought about playing through that. I don't know what I'm doing. You know, I don't know. I'm going to play something, but I still have Sackboy and I still have Rocket League. It's like, right. So how much time do I have for something else? But I want mm-hmm. something with a story.
And I did finally get, I've got my PX21s for my PS4. I wanted a headset that was a little more comfortable than that for my Stadia. So I went ahead and I got the Cloud X Alpha Pro, mm-hmm. I think.
Did you order it online or did you get it? I think Best Buy carries them.
I got them at GameStop, so maybe okay. not those.
They probably carry them too. I haven't been in GameStop in a long time. I've seen them at Best Buy.
Yeah, HyperX. See, still got the plastic on the sides.
Oh my gosh, that looks so tacky. That looks so tacky. That on.
Yeah, HyperX X Alpha Pros or something like that. They're called. I wanted a comfortable headset. Wireless is impossible to find for what I want to do. So I pretty much had to go wired, plug it into the controller. It also worked with Luna. It'll work with any of them that have a 3.5 millimeter jack.
Yeah.
Yep, that's, I was like, except for they're wired. I think they're like $100. I only got to try them once, but I'm happy with the purchase. I haven't done any multiplayer stuff on it with them, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But...
But you don't do a ton of multiplayer, so really what you're looking for is good sound, single player, and something comfortable.
Yeah, I want that shit. I like to be able to crank that shit up.
Yeah. Now, Gerald, did you get to play anything besides... I saw you on GTA a lot.
Yeah, I played a lot of GTA. Fallout 76, Valiant Hearts. That's pretty much it.
I saw you on Fallout also, so... So Gerald sent us a text, I don't know, last week, week before, whatever, asking us to find him a PlayStation Plus game to play.
And that's the one you came up with?
No, I've done this, though. I haven't told him about it. No, I picked two games. And I need to justify a little bit before I tell you what they are. Because my assumption is... Dan, if you came to me and you said, I want you to pick a game for me to play, it's because you want me to pick something out of your comfort zone.
Uh-oh.
Right? Because if you wanted to pick a game that you would play, you'd already do that.
No, I don't think that's what he meant, but okay.
Okay.
So, that's not what I would mean either, but okay.
Well, if you just want me to pick a game you like, you would have already known what you like.
It doesn't mean I can pick, though, because there's so many.
Okay. What was your... Before I unveil these two choices, Gerald... What was your thinking behind that?
That you would pick a game that you liked and Dan would pick a game that he liked and then I would basically play both of those.
Okay, I didn't do that. What I did was pick two games that I don't think that you would ever play, but I think that you might enjoy if you did play.
Okay.
I didn't pick any games for you yet, Gerald.
Well, and now Dan's got some inside baseball, so maybe he can.
I've been doing science all week.
Maybe we can do a better job. So, the first game that I thought you should play is Hollow Knight.
Oh no.
Because you like a grind, and I think it'll feel really rewarding when you finish it. It was free this year.
Isn't it a roguelike?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's going to like
Gerald Rogue loves the grind.
Yeah, but it's...
Oh, just wait. My second pick is worse.
No.
So, for the second game, I figured you'd get a choice between the two. I think you should play Bloodborne.
Oh, no.
He's never going to play either one of those games without the help, the assistance, the selection of me. So, those are the two, after scrolling through and looking through all the PlayStation Plus, that's where I landed.
Okay.
My first thought was Hollow Knight, because you just love to beat your head against a wall, and that's what that game is. but I don't see you playing it without it. And Bloodborne, by all accounts, is the easiest Souls game, and also I think it's cool as hell looking. So you haven't played either one of those, right?
No.
Yeah, and you should have them both. I think Bloodborne might have been free like 2 years ago or something.
Okay.
It was free quite a while ago, I think.
All right, I'll download them and start playing them.
So you could just choose one. You don't have to punish yourself all the way.
No, I'll do. I'll do.
And
both.
I'll have to get it on PS4 and pick something for you.
No, I'll do both.
Yeah. So, hey, so both? PlayStation Plus has
what,
a.
Do you hate your life, Gerald, or what?
No.
PlayStation Plus has a Wikipedia, Dan.
Oh, I'll have to look it up that way. I'll play both of these games that I will absolutely fucking hate.
And you don't
this
think,
is why I don't ask people to pick a game.
Listen,
for me.
You don't think there's a hope that he'll like either one of those?
He's not going to like Bloodborne. I can promise you that.
He likes hard games.
No, he doesn't like hard games.
He'll like them.
Hollow Knight he might be okay with if he can. I don't think he's going to like the rogue aspect, the roguelike aspect of things. I know he likes a grind, but
and I don't.
It's
like
a different kind of grind.
I just do the grind. I hate the grinds.
No, you like a grind. Don't lie to us. You grind too much to not like it.
To not like it. It's mm-hmm. That's kind of he's. Yeah, I'm kind of with Ryan on this one.
Yeah. Some hey.
For a guy who hates doing it, you sure do it a lot.
Yeah. Pain is pleasure in some cases, so I get
it. Yeah.
I get it.
I get it. Maybe that's just, maybe you're just a BDSM guy.
Yeah. I think that's what we've discovered today. I think, though, you start with Hollow Knight probably because I think that's the one that...
is closest to what you would enjoy.
Yeah. I don't know. Those are the two I picked.
What a dick.
No, I just wasn't sure. I assume that Gerald didn't task me with picking a game that he would love because he would already have played a game that he would love.
No, I was pretty sure that he just had a bunch of choices and just couldn't choose one, so wanted someone else to.
If that's the case, you give somebody a list and let them choose.
No, you had a list.
300 some games.
And, free.
And he got Bloodborne and Hollow Knight. Welcome.
And you got some games.
Once you finish those, if you need me to choose anything else, you let me know.
Yeah, no, when you're done with those, let me know. It'll probably be Tuesday, because you'll be fed up by then.
Don't be that way. See, here's the thing. The thread, he said, choose whatever you want, and I will play it and beat it. Did you say beat it?
I've been trying to complete it, yes.
Yeah, so
try.
That told me he was going in with an open mind.
Yeah.
Pick anything, okay. Because he's okay. Done choosing for himself. He wanted you to think outside the box.
He could end up loving both of these games. He really could. I mean,
I played Journey all the way through and platinum that thing, and I hated that game. There's several games I've beat or platinum.
Neither one of these are Journey.
Just to do it.
Yeah. Now, I want to be clear. Both of these are, by all accounts, really good games.
Yes.
So I'm not shitting on these games. I didn't pick them because I think they're bad. I picked them because I think you would never play either one of them.
You're probably right. I probably would never have picked those.
Yeah, and so... I'll pick
some garbage games for you, too.
Here's the thing, though. I'm thinking about playing Hollow Knight also because I've always wanted to play it and never have.
Why don't you play Bloodborne? You've talked about Bloodborne
I've tried Bloodborne. I was bad at it.
Oh.
Yeah, I was not good at it.
Couldn't get past, the first enemy?
I don't know. I couldn't get past, a bridge or something super early on. Then it sends you to the fucking death world, and I couldn't get out of there. I don't like a grind, and I don't do a grind.
Right.
And I don't like games where I have to make myself better at them in most cases. So I don't like to like Bloodborne's the kind of game, and so is Hollow Knight, where you just beat yourself up until you get better at it.
Mm-hmm.
Hollow Knight especially is a lot of muscle memory and stuff like that. So I don't know. We'll see. Report back. Don't feel obligated to play on both, and definitely don't stick with them if you hate it.
Yeah.
But I am thinking that I may play Hollow Knight also so that we can just compare notes because I have some context, very little for Bloodborne, but I don't really have any for Hollow Knight. I've watched people play some of it, and I've watched videos of it, and I'm super interested in it. So. Yeah.
Oh, I do want to say one thing about Ubisoft Plus on Google Stadia real quick. It doesn't say it, but you do still get all of the Ultimate Editions.
Okay.
But it doesn't specifically say that anywhere on Google Stadia.
Stadia may only offer the Deluxe Editions then. Maybe you can't buy Standard.
It's... No, you can.
Oh, can you? Because like on Luna, the Standards don't exist. It is just the Deluxe.
Yeah, but you can actually buy them from Stadia or play them through Ubisoft on Google.
Do you even know what Hollow Knight was, Gerald?
I've seen it, but never seen
it. How are you feeling about it right now watching this video?
Like, oh, God.
30 bosses.
Look how fun that
looks,
though.
What are you, some kind of hell rabbit? What are you?
Yeah, you're like a death rabbit thing. I don't know. Look how good that looks.
I mean, it looks good.
It looks so frustratingly hard. Mm-hmm.
That looks like a horrible time.
The animation's cool. Yeah, let us know.
It's got some... It's giving me... As far as the gameplay goes, it's giving me some Cuphead vibes.
Yeah, so I wish Cuphead had been on the list. If Cuphead had been PS Plus, I would have immediately went there. So, yeah.
Or Cuphead, as some people call it.
I've never heard anyone call it Cuphead.
I think Matt did when he was...
You got Cuphead and Mugman, and I like them both. Also, that game's supposed to be getting DLC for like 12 years now.
So which one?
Cuphead, yeah. I think they just delayed it again.
Probably. COVID.
Yeah. 2020. Let's move on to the news. Gerald, report back to us on those.
Will do.
Let us know. We only picked one story, like I said, and I'd planned on talking about it for kind of in depth, but you know what? We just talked for too long, so I do still want to cover it because I want to get your thoughts.
Yeah, definitely.
So let me start with the story, then let me advance to where we are today, and then let's talk about it.
Sure. Go ahead with the beginning and the end of the story.
All right. So Microsoft announced that the prices for Xbox Live Gold were going to shift. They were going to become more expensive. So they confirmed Friday that a one-month subscription is going up by $1 in the United States, while a three-month subscription would now cost $5 more. U.S. dollars again. So the new pricing structure is 1 month for 11, 3 months for 30, 6 months is 60. Here is the obvious reason why they did that is because 1 month of Game Pass Ultimate subscription, which includes Xbox Live Gold, is $15, so only $4 more, and 3 months is $45, so $15 more. So obviously they're trying to push people over to get the Ultimate. That is the strategy for Microsoft and always has been, and the price I think aligns itself a little better with that. So just for some comparison, 1 month of PlayStation Plus is $10, 3 months is $25, and 12 months is $60. So here's how Microsoft explained the price hike. Periodically, we assess the value and pricing of our services to reflect changes in the regional marketplaces and to continue to invest in the Xbox community. We'll be making price adjustments for Xbox Live Gold in select markets. In many markets, the price of Xbox Live Gold has not changed for years. In some markets, it hasn't changed for over 10 years. So let's break that down.
Okay.
Specifically, it hasn't changed in the U.S., I believe, in 10 years.
It hasn't. It's been the same price since
It
was available, I think, on the original Xbox.
So if you just take all the fluff and bullshit out, I think a price increase makes sense. It's been too long. Services go up.
Yeah, I mean, the price of those go up. And what better time than when you're introducing this amazing new offer to up this one that, honestly, I think Microsoft is probably trying to wean away from.
Yeah. Initially, when I say 1 month goes up by a dollar and 3 months goes up by $5, that sounds wrong, but then you have to remember it's cheaper to buy 3 months than it is to buy a month at a time to start with. So I think on its face, that all seems okay.
Well, I think if you remember, though, I think it used to cost $60 for a year. And now it's $60 for 6 months.
Yeah.
For Xbox Live.
Yeah,
just Xbox Live.
Yeah, like I said, the obvious.
I think that's the one a lot of people had trouble with.
Yeah, it's not ideal, but services can't stay the price same price for 10 years. I don't know what else you have in your life that you use as a service that costs the same now as it did 10 years ago. Think about your cable not increasing for 10 years.
Right. No, I agree with you. I have a cramp.
Okay. Work through it. Work through it.
That was bad.
So first okay, initial thought for this story is less than ideal, but I understand. You know, as somebody on Games Pass Ultimate, I'm unaffected by this anyways.
And that's the thing is really you should, that's what for as far as bang for your buck goes, you should be not interested in Xbox Live at all.
Right. So, Gerald, do you have any thoughts to the price hike?
No, not really.
Okay.
I don't do Xbox.
Let's fast forward to like the very fucking next day.
Okay.
Where Microsoft pulled a 180 and announced that it will not be reversing its planned Xbox Live or that announced that it is reversing its planned Xbox Live Gold increase. The subscription will not get more expensive. The other part of this is people have long since free games became a thing, been screaming for free games to be not a part of Xbox Live Gold, meaning I could play Fortnite without a subscription, the way it works on PlayStation.
Right.
And so as part of this...
mea culpa.
Yeah, Microsoft has said that this has been in the works for a long time. I've seen other analysts say the same thing. This has less to do with all this and more to do with it was maybe a good time to throw somebody a bone.
Right.
But they totally caved to the pressure from their fans or customers or however you want to look at it. But Phil Spencer came out and in a statement said, "We messed up today and you were right to let us know. Connecting and playing with friends is a vital part of gaming, and we failed to meet the expectations of players who count on it every day. As a result, we have decided not to change Xbox Live Gold pricing. We are turning this moment into an opportunity to bring Xbox Live more in line with how we see the player at the center of their experience. For free-to-play games, you will no longer need Xbox Live Gold membership to play those games on Xbox. We're working hard to deliver this change as soon as possible. In the coming months. If you are an Xbox Live Gold member already, you stay at your current price for renewal. New and existing members can continue to enjoy Xbox Live Gold at the same prices as they pay today. In the U.S., it's $9.99 for 1 month, $24.99 for 3 months, $39.99 for 6 months, and $60 for retail 12 months. So, in one day, Microsoft undid this entire story. But, I mean, this takes me back to the launch of the Xbox.
Of the Xbox One.
One.
Yep. And that my first take when all this happened was, okay, Microsoft didn't learn a fucking thing. Microsoft lost me as a customer when they completely reversed everything on the Xbox One all those years ago. I was looking forward to what the Xbox One was going to do. And then they just caved. No, okay, you know, we're not doing any of that.
To me, this is
the same thing.
They have created a situation where, you know, reverse anyone growing up, if you were fortunate enough to have a two-parent household where you had one parent that said yes more than the other, that's the one you ask.
Right.
Like, people understand
now. Or if one said no, then you went to the other one.
Yeah, people understand now that if they throw a fit, Microsoft will cave.
Yes.
It's what they do. Say what you want about Nintendo and Sony, but you're out of your fucking mind if you think
they stick to their guns, man.
If you think Sony would reverse the price hike that they announced,
right? No,
not gonna happen.
Nope. Or Nintendo.
And the reason I wanted to talk about it the way we did is because I think that on the surface, I don't think there's anything wrong with the price increase. Right? It hasn't gone up in years, 10 years.
What?
And also, the purpose is to get you on Games Pass Ultimate, which is the future of Microsoft. Or Xbox.
And that's where I think that's where the real mistake was made. And it wasn't made 2 days ago or yesterday. The real mistake was made when they didn't announce our Xbox Series X and S are coming out. We're doing away with Xbox Live. We're only offering Game Pass Ultimate.
Yeah, I think that is the answer, right? I think you say, for our new systems, we will no longer offer Xbox. For our new members, we will no longer offer Xbox Live Gold. We'll only offer the Game Pass Ultimate because that is the best way to enjoy and experience Xbox. For anyone existing, you'll keep it for now.
Yep.
So that way, if you're one of the people who suddenly want to play video games, that's the path you have to go. But if you're on, you can keep it. But that's gradually nudging people towards like the idea that this is where we're all going to go.
Right. And I think is what Microsoft should say along with that is once, if you have Live right now, whatever plan you are under, you will continue under. But when that term is up, it will have to transfer over to Game Pass Ultimate.
To me, it's bananas if you have an Xbox, unless you're like one of those people that just plays one game every year. You just play Call of Duty. You just play whatever, Madden, you know, whatever game it is. It is
ludicrous.
I can't rationalize not having Game Pass.
We're on the same page. Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I don't think Microsoft... I don't think their miss was in the price hike. Their miss was, again, in the way they communicated it and the reversal of it.
Yeah.
As far as I know, you can make Microsoft do whatever you want or Xbox do whatever you want as far as I understand.
Yeah. I appreciate Microsoft. We've talked about it before how Microsoft really seems to be coming across a lot more consumer friendly. Part of maintaining that is consistency in your confidence. We are confident that this is the best way to experience our new system. These are the options you have. If you're new, you get this. We're not going to be offering that one anymore. That's old school. That's not how we're going to do it anymore. This is the new way to do it.
So we have spent many a podcast talking about the what seems to be the customer facing attitude of Microsoft and Xbox.
But there's a difference between being consumer friendly and letting the lunatics run the asylum.
Well, so there's what I would tell you is that customers typically don't actually know what they want. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's that super famous quote that's probably not Henry Ford, but is Henry Ford, where if he'd asked customers what they wanted, they would have said faster horses.
Right.
Like, you know, when you're talking about the automobile, like that, there's a little bit of that here. Like, they need to make more money so that they can make Game Pass better, because the only thing that Xbox actually has to offer that sets them apart is Game Pass, and it's amazing.
It's Game Pass.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, like, their vision here wasn't wrong. I don't, you know, you've said it before. You don't think their vision with the Xbox One was wrong.
I don't.
So,
no, and I've stood by that time and time again.
But now,
I've never wavered on that.
As an informed consumer in this market, I understand that if Microsoft does something that we don't care about, we just have to be really loud.
Yeah.
And they'll change it because they've put that out there.
Time and time again, more than once, they've done it at this point now. And I would wager that probably, I'm going to say 75% of the people that complained or have a negative opinion on this or are saying Microsoft is shit or they need to change it back don't know what all of these different prices actually include. All they saw was a higher number.
So when they decide to put Elder Scrolls, the next Elder Scrolls out, and make it an Xbox exclusive, and the internet loses its mind, Microsoft has to then make that multi-platform because that's what they do.
Right.
And I know that's an example that everybody's saying, oh, that won't happen anyways. It doesn't matter. It's whatever X thing they do. If I'm just loud enough, they'll pivot because they don't stick to their guns on anything, good or bad.
Right. And I just go back to it again. what was it now, 7 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
8 years ago. When they released Xbox One?
I
How
love
long ago
Phil-
was it?
Something like that. It's been a long time.
Yeah, it has been that long ago that Microsoft lost me as a consumer, as a customer, as a consistently good one. Yep, November 22nd, 2013. That was a launch date. So this is, you're talking the announcement, which was in January before that. And then 2 days later, no, we're not doing any of that. That's when Microsoft lost me as a consumer for making the same mistakes that they're making 9 years later.
I love Phil Spencer, and I love a lot of what that team and at Microsoft and at Xbox has been able to do. You know, just what they've done in accessibility, I think,
it's huge.
Makes their time there worth it.
Yeah, I'm not saying that they're useless.
No. But what I'm going to say
now is, they're just a garbage company.
As much as I love Phil Spencer and I love the team over there, I think their vision is correct.
Yeah, but I think they're headed the right way.
But if you can't believe in it, how can I?
Right.
We made a mistake. No, you didn't. You didn't make a mistake. You needed to increase the price, and you did. That's not a mistake. The mistake is right now reversing it.
Just giving in to the masses.
Yeah.
You have a vision. Move forward with that vision and trust the process. Trust your own vision.
I also want to be clear. I don't want to pay more for anything I do. So before anyone thinks I've just got fuck you money and I wipe my ass with hundreds, I also don't want to pay more for those services.
But I also live in like this real world where those are, that's kind of how like the future and consumerism and technology works, like all in conjunction. They kind of have to cost more as they get better.
Yeah, anybody out there, podcast@gamestitch.com or @game_stitch on Twitter, let us know what service you've had for 10 years that hasn't changed prices. Exterminator, trash service, and what do you have? 10 years hasn't changed by a dollar. Let us know.
I would like to know as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying they don't exist, but...
And for the most part, by the way, those price changes, I'm pretty sure they probably involve going up.
Yeah.
So I don't want to hear about what went down because now you only have internet, not cable anymore. Yeah, I understand that goes down.
No changes to the... Well, yeah, let me rephrase that. The service has gotten better and offers more, but you pay the same.
Yeah.
Over better. 10 years now. So, it, you know, I don't know. This really made me sad when I read it.
It upset me. I take it back. On Friday, I was pretty happy. I was like, yeah, this makes sense. I would go the Game Pass route anyway. That's the way to go. I understood exactly what they were doing. Game Pass is the way it's supposed to work with the new infrastructure that they've set up. Xbox Live really doesn't have a place in that. Just Live alone doesn't really have a place in that infrastructure anymore. It does need to go away. Because it's just a burden on gigabytes, servers, terabytes, whatever. All it is, it's taking up valuable space that could be used better. They're trying to phase that out. I get that. I was like, that's a good idea. Sony, you know, Microsoft's being pretty smart. They see the future. I like it. I had kind of been leaning. I've told you guys this. I'd kind of been leaning towards getting an Xbox rather than a PS5 anyway.
Yeah.
Then they did this on Saturday. And I'm back to leaning to a PS5 just because of that. Now, granted, I'm only one person and I don't matter. And when it comes to the bottom line of both of those companies, I'm just, you know, water. I'm just a drop in an ocean.
They're going
to
make it with or without you.
Right.
But they're not going to make it with and without millions of you.
No. And at the end of the day, it comes down to me. Not Sony or Microsoft when it comes to decisions I make.
Yeah.
But I'm not as excited about using that anymore because I don't have faith that they know what they're doing anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Just off of that, only because they've done this before. You know, if this was a first-time thing, I could probably write it off. And this is nowhere near as big of a mind change as it was with the Xbox One. That one was huge. But they haven't learned their lessons from that. It still bothers me. It still bothered me that, I mean, I was all Xbox 360 all the time. You guys know that.
Yeah.
I got a PS3, what, like,
way into
2 months
cycle.
Before the end of the fucking life cycle, yeah. Or whatever. I played the Xbox 360 all the time. I was all in on it. I was super excited for the Xbox One, and they 180'd. They lost me. I was considering the Xbox Series S because it does exactly what I want to do. It gives me the digital option. It's cheaper than the PS5, and I liked with Microsoft's infrastructure what they're trying to do here. And this is just another indicator of how they are not confident in what they're doing and what their decisions are.
Now, Gerald's got Netflix and stuff pulled up. I'm not justifying a price increase every year. It's been 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I know Netflix has gone up quite often, as of late especially. It's a different story that we could talk about for an hour when you look at what also they crank out. And what I would argue are also some...
offers more, offers better.
Yeah, I would argue they make some missteps, but in order to get those bangers that hit, you have to misstep also. So, you know, that's a different conversation, but I mean, just look at the price of Netflix from when they started. Because we're basically rewinding to when Xbox Live started.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it really started to catch fire and the masses joined it. Like, rewind to what Netflix cost you when they launched a streaming service. And then look at what you're paying now for it. So,
yeah,
you know, however you feel about this, I like you said earlier, I want my company to be confident in their decisions. Now, that doesn't mean that they don't ever say, hey, we messed up and we're going to change something. But how do you know you messed up when you didn't even do it?
Yeah, I think there's a difference. And I think it's very easy for most people with any kind of sense to tell what is an actual mistake. And what is people being babies?
Right. Even if they would have come out and said, hey, we made a mistake yesterday in the way we communicated this.
Yep.
For that, we apologize. So we're going to post a video tomorrow, and then we're going to have a Q&A after where we address some of the, you know, the biggest concerns we've seen. But we're still doing this.
Because this is the way forward for Microsoft.
This is how Game Pass gets better. This is how we bring more games to Game Pass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're someone who only plays one game a year, I'm sorry. Maybe this is not the platform for you, because for this platform, Game Pass is what makes sense.
Right.
So.
And I don't know that there's a platform anymore for someone who only plays one game a year, is there?
Yeah, I mean, I think PlayStation still is with the way PS Plus works.
Yeah, I guess.
You know, until they roll PlayStation Now or something like that in there. I think and of course, if your game comes out on Switch, obviously the price of playing per year on Switch is significantly cheaper if the game you're playing is over there. And then, of course, PC, you know, for, you know, a lot of those not requiring any subscription to play online. So I think those places exist, but, you know, I don't know.
I don't think they fit into Microsoft's plan for the future. I don't think Xbox Live does, and I think it's taken up valuable resources.
When we started this week, this is not the story that I thought that we'd be picking to talk about. So let us know your thoughts again at @game_stitch on Twitter or podcast at gamestitch.com if you're more of a long form kind of person. And let us know what you think about the flippity floppity, the flim flam, as the kids call it. And where you stand on it. Did the price increase piss you off so bad you were ready to trade your Xbox in? Over $1 a month. Are you ready to let it go? Take it out in the street and smash it? I don't know.
I don't know either.
These services are expensive, but think about how much time you spend doing them.
Yeah.
You know?
There's plenty of free games for me to play on Pro, and I'm buying games on Stadia. Yeah. So
here's what I'll say. If It was $60 before. If it going to $120 means you won't be able to do it, and we might lose some listeners right here, you shouldn't be doing it to start with.
Probably.
Right? If you can't go from 60 to 120, this is probably not the hobby for you. And I say that because video games are only going to continue to get more expensive as well. Look at the price for Joy-Cons. Look at the price for DualSense. Look at the price for games now.
Yeah. Headsets. Any accessories. Any of it.
Yeah. I mean, you had to carelessly say that that headset was $100 because they don't make headsets that aren't $100.
Right.
So it's not that that's not a lot of money. It's like that's what it costs to get a decent headset.
Yeah.
You know, if there was a better, cheaper model, you would have got it. Like, that doesn't exist.
Yeah. There are some cheaper models, but they're not better.
Yeah, so this
and
is
they didn't offer what I wanted.
This is an expensive hobby, and I understand what Microsoft wants to do. I think everyone does. I think their messaging, again, was, you know, there's this
and
thing.
And I honestly don't think the way they want that infrastructure to work, you're actually getting quite a lot for that small increase.
Mm-hmm. Well, so
if you go the Game Pass route.
Yes.
Obviously, if you go the live route, no. But they don't want you to have that.
This thing at work where you're like, everybody has this happen at work, right? Where you're like, I don't necessarily care, but why are we doing this? Like, you want the why behind it.
Right.
And I think that was the miss here, is the why that they gave you wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
And I agree that it's not. That first statement of the why, it hasn't gone up in 10 years. Like, okay, so? Like, that wasn't good enough. To explain people, like, for Xbox to exist, for us to buy companies like Bethesda and give
and
you those
give
games
you
without having to pay for them. Right. For you to be able to play Elder Scrolls the day it comes out for $0 more than what you're paying already, we have to go this route.
Right.
You know, I think the why behind it was the miss here, and then I hate the reversal. I don't know. I don't like these stories. I like upbeat stories. But that's not what we had.
No, it's not how the week went.
Nope. Let us know if you prefer it this way versus the other way. I will tell you they're not going to all be this length.
No, this one went a little long. Well, because I had a lot happen this week with my lights and my science experiment.
And science, right. We have, you know... Like I said, this probably isn't the final form of what we're going to ultimately probably migrate the show to, but we're going to try some things and...
What are we, Pokemon?
Yeah. Dude, final evolution, man. Final form.
Final form.
As we go through this, though, I mean, we'll play with some stuff, and ultimately we may land right back where we started, or we may not, but let us know how you thought. But don't base it off the length, because, again, I can't always deliver the length, you know? I'm good for the girth. I'm not always good for the length. So, let us know.
Fair enough.
I like to make it weird right before we go.
Uh-huh. You sure do.
If you want to support us over at patreon.com/GameStitch, we would love for you to do so. Toss us a couple bucks and tell us how much you hate the way we just did this last show. That'd be fine. patreon.com/GameStitch. You can support us just like our loyal... besties, our friends. We need a name for the people. You know, everybody's got like a nation or a family. You know, what up, fam?
What up, Stitchers?
I do know.
Yeah, Stitchers. That sounds Stitchers. Like something different. I like friends of the show, but then if I say friend of the show, Zach, friend of the show, Thomas, friend of the show, Mike, it's a lot.
Well, and then it's like no one else is a friend of the show, and that's not entirely true.
Or is it?
You can still be a friend of the show. You can still be a friend of the show without paying for it.
Right, but you're more of a friend of the show if you pay. No, friends of the show is nice, but then again, like you said, we call our friends that we know outside of it that we don't want to give their personal information. We call them friends of the show and use their gamer tags or PlayStation names or whatever.
Right. Then we just call them thoughts.
Thoughts. That's
no,
different.
Thoughts. FOTS.
Oh. Okay.
Thoughts.
Friend of the show.
No. I know what it stands for,
I don't like it.
You said thoughts.
I understand how it works, Gerald, but I don't like it.
I don't like thoughts, yeah.
Thoughts.
Thoughts. Yeah, so I like friend of the show. Maybe we need something for the people who don't pay. Maybe the friend of the show should be designated for patrons.
I don't know.
So let us know if you guys want to be thoughts.
Yeah, okay, look, I'm going to answer for you. You don't want to be FOTS.
I don't know. You know, do you. Again, though, thank you to Zach, Thomas, and Mike, friends of the show. We appreciate everything you do.
FOTS.
Yeah. Let us know what you think of the new shortened name.
It's so bad.
And
and not in a Power Glove kind of way.
No. It's a FOTS. It's not good. It's not.
It's horrible.
Give that a 2 out of 10. Would not recommend.
Oh, no. That's too much. That's too much.
I like everything on the internet now. If someone likes it, they're like 10 out of 10 would recommend.
Yeah.
Everything now. That's just it.
That's the thing now.
Yeah.
So. I have seen that.
FOTS is on the other end of that spectrum.
No one 10 out of 10's that.
Yep. Unless you guys like being FOTS, and then in which case, I can embrace it. Gerald's obviously
I'm still going to have a hard time with it. Sorry, guys.
Gerald's obviously already embraced it. He brought it to the table. That was his contribution.
He did bring it to the table. It was his idea.
To this episode. So, yep. All right. Follow us on the social medias at @game_stitch, @podcastRyan, @shirtlessDan, @HoffinShow on Twitter. I hopefully, as I pull out of this
funk
that I have, this cold, this COVID, the whatever it is, I will start streaming again, hopefully soon. I would like to stream some of the Elder Scrolls stuff. So you can see that I don't understand how MMOs work. So hopefully we'll have some activity on Twitch, twitch.tv/GameStitch. We'd love for you guys to come over there and check us out. But hopefully we'll have some of that going soon-ish.
I should probably figure out if there's a way to stream from Stadia. Or
Stadia streams straight to YouTube, and Twitch, Luna streams straight to Twitch.
I would have to plan.
Yep. So, yeah, that's it. It's the whole show. A lot of show.
It was a long one.
Yeah, a lot of show here.
Like I said, I had a lot happen to me this week, though.
Brings me back to the old times.
Oof.
The good old days.
Were they, though?
We were carefree back then.
I'm still carefree.
Yeah. You're just creeping towards that big 5-0, though.
I know. Without a care in the world.
Right. And if anyone happened to be listening... Dan's trying to go to Galaxy's Edge.
I am, yeah.
If anybody was listening, you know.
When I'm 50. Not. Well, no, I would go tomorrow. Don't
I was
get say, me
would
wrong,
you turn it down if somebody's like, let's go?
Don't give me. I would go tomorrow. I would go right now.
Yeah. But, go today.
But what I'm pushing for is the 50 thing. Plus, I want to go. I think they have the Mass Effect Park is in the same area.
Do you want to be there on your birthday?
I just need that excuse to do that type of thing.
But you're not lobbying to be there like on the day.
No, I don't need to be there on the day.
Sometime that year would be fine.
Yeah.
Well, you guys are going to have to step up your Patreon.
So you guys can send me.
Yeah, if we're sending Dan, we're a ways away, just so everybody knows. So you better hope that his wife pulls through, because you don't even have him out of the state he's in. So, yeah, that's it. That's it for the show. Playoff football going on if your guys' team is still alive. Good luck. Congrats. Whatever you like. I'll be watching from afar like a creeper. I don't have a dog in that fight anymore.
I haven't had a dog in that fight since week 3.
Only a couple teams Dan could be a fan of. You guys can figure it out from there. And spoiler alert, it's not Jacksonville. But we'll be back next week. Same time, same place. Good night.
Good night.